Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening. Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm delighted to be here once again. We just celebrated Mother's Day. I have Shirley Carter, my co-host.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. And what a Mother's Day I had, Val. It was wonderful. Got to spend some time with some of my grands.
Oh, yeah, you got a lot of grandchildren. You got enough to fill a basketball team, football, whatever. You got a
well,
lot of people.
I'm building a team. Let's say it's a team in progress, you know, four boys and four girls.
Wow. And it just seemed like yesterday.
I know. And, you know, I have a 13-year-old grandson that's standing 6 foot tall, and I'm like, oh, my God.
What?
And, yes. So it's like, okay. So
At 13. Wow, that's amazing. You know, I've had the opportunity to talk with a lot of mothers, you know, during Mother's Day and yesterday and today, and they were talking about, you know, what great Mother's Days they had. And I thought about the show tonight, Built to Last, and I started thinking about how it was back in the day when used to do certain things, mom used to do certain things, and, you know, everything was great, everything was phenomenal, but, you know, you can go to the store and buy an appliance and thinking it's going to last you for years and years, but sometimes within 90 days it goes kaploop. You buy a car, and as soon as you pull it off the lot, it depreciates. And then you buy a house and say, okay, you sign that note and say, in 30 years, I'm going to own this lock, stock, and barrel. And before you know it, you have to refinance it or do something with it. So, you know, we're investing in things that we feel are built to last.
And they don't last. And the thing about it is that they don't build things the way they used to. Like you were talking about the 90 days, 91st day it breaks. And so you have to replace it or something. And, you know, cars depreciate as you roll off the dealership lot. They depreciate about, you know, at least 2 to 3%. So before you know it, you know, things aren't built the way they used to have. And, you know, you used to have things that were built to, like you said, built to last. And the same thing with our mothers. If you think back in the day when we were younger, our mothers could make a meal out of almost anything. They could create meals. You know, when I think about it during this time, current time, and I think, how did we do it? How did she do it? How did she just knew that she could just take this and this and this and make a full meal? When I say this and this and this, if she had cornmeal or if she had flour, those are the basics. And she started with those and sugar. You know, you ever had syrup made from sugar and just water?
No, but I would try it. I've tried some things, you know, because when I found myself homeless and raising four children, I made some phenomenal meals, Shirley Carter. I should have created I've written four books. I should have actually made a recipe book because, you know, some of the things I had to come up with in order to make ends meet. But right now, you know, some of these kids are so bougie, you can't do none of that. they want this just like that, and oh, if this isn't cut right, they don't want it. And I said, you know, when I say kids are bougie now, they are bougie.
And then they want everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. You know, it's the microwave generation. And I look at the
young mothers
today.
Only thing I know that's
today.
Quick, fast, and in a hurry is jail.
Yes, that too. And they can speed up a few things that they really don't want, like death too. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because you know we got to start looking at things and appreciating the things that are around us. But they're making things so now that things are more geared to that generation. And speaking of quick, fast, and in a hurry, I happened to be in Home Depot, and they have these little pods. And I was looking at their vegetables, and I'm thinking, okay, this is something, what, you put it in a flower pot or something? Well, you do and you don't. You started in that, and then it blooms, and then there's several seeds in the pot. But it used to be that we had this bag of seeds, but now they come in this little pot. I bought about six of those things, and then when I read the instruction and that it wasn't as simple as I thought it was, I said, oh, no, I'm not ready for a full garden. So guess what? Those pods are in the bag. I told my granddaughter, that's a project that you have to convince your dad to do with you, because it was one we were going to do, but I was like, no, I'm not ready for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was like, it's more than a notion.
Yeah, you know, we talk about being built to last. You know, we fall in love and we expect love to last a lifetime, and it doesn't. I know, you know, you're having an event this weekend. Against All Odds is doing your annual fundraising drive. And if you could, Shirley, share a little bit of your story and how Against All Odds was formulated.
Well, Against All Odds was formulated 16 years ago. I was diagnosed with breast cancer 20 years ago. This August will be 20 years. And then I had a back-to-back episode in 95 and then 96. And doing my trials with battling breast cancer and dealing with the chemo and then no chemo and all the surgeries and everything, I did not see people who were familiar with me and understood my story or my struggles as I was going through when I went to the support meetings. The support meeting had a picture painted like this, and you know, where there were people there, European descent, there were other people, you know, there, but they had their significant others at some of the meetings with them. And I'm looking at this picture, and I said, I didn't have a family member with me. I didn't even have my husband with me. I went through my treatments by being dropped off at the clinic and picked up by the curb. Call me when you're done. And so I sit and I went through that 2 years back to back. And then I was talking with a girlfriend about it, and she said, well, do something about it. And I was like, what do you mean? She said, you've gained knowledge. You've gone through it. You know you're not the only one in this city that has gone through breast cancer, but you can't seem to find a group that has, you know, other African-American women being able to support each other if they don't have the support of their family or loved ones. So that's how Against All Odds was birthed. I decided to do something about it. And, yes, the women came out, their families came out, and it started with me going to the doctor with them to be a liaison person, a patient advocate for them, to tell them, explain to them what the doctor was saying, because I had some experience in medical terminology from working in a hospital for 16 years and dealing with patients and being an admitting coordinator with diagnosis and everything. And so I learned a lot about the terms and stuff. So I was able to help these women out and their families. And from that, you know, we branched off into another segment of it, which is Women of Vision. And that's what we're having this weekend, the Women of Vision Luncheon. And what that luncheon is in empowering women to reclaim their lives after a breast cancer diagnosis. Because once they get a diagnosis, it's something about your whole life changes, more than just the physical part. The emotional, the whole dynamics of what you knew as your life changes, because you don't know what side effects or what permanent damage that the chemo or the treatment that you go through is going to do to your life. So you're no longer able to, as example for myself, I'm no longer able to go skiing like I used to love to ski. I used to love to golf. I used to love to do so many other different things. I had to change my lifestyle. So in changing my lifestyle, I also had to find a new career, because when I was going through the treatments, my job closed out on me. So hence, Women of Vision, I had a vision to start my own business other than the nonprofit organization. So I started an entertainment company, because I've always been a part of entertainment from in my early 20s when I was modeling and singing in a band. So I decided to do something for me to restart my business, to branch out, to expand it, really. Instead of doing a 9-to-5, I just poured all my energy into my breast cancer organization to help other cancer survivors, and into my profit company to help other people, which paid my bills to help me run my organization. So not only did I do entertainment piece, but I also started doing sports piece, and I was a sports manager. But the Women of Vision is to bring women together from all walks of life that has ever dealt with any life-changing situation, whether it's divorce, sickness, a loss of a loved one, whatever has caused you to pause and say, I can't do this anymore the same way. I need to make a change. But I know I have it within me to make that change. And I wanted to bring the cancer survivors into the room to see life does not stop after the diagnosis of a cancer. It's only the beginning of a new chapter in your life, and it's what you make of it, and you can reclaim your life, and you can be totally 100% a woman with power, a woman with the vision, and a woman with the ability to see it come true. And with the support of other women empowering you, whether it be emotionally, a role model, mentor, some way connecting these women, networking. So our luncheon is there, and we salute the women by wearing the cancer survivor by wearing our crown, whether that be a head wrap, a hat, a scarf on your head, something to represent, I support you and I honor you for your fight to reclaim your life. So that's what Women of Vision is about, and a luncheon.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know you were supposed to wear something on your head. Well, we do.
If that's what you call your crown, put a flower in it and call it a day. But you got your crown on, you know. And, you know, there's the other part, too. There's vendors there. There's entertainment there. You know, from my entertainment company, two of my artists is going to be providing music for us, Mr. Charles Anthony, who does jazz, and my new artist that I recently signed is going to, and she's an inspirational artist, gospel artist, and she's going to perform one of her songs.
Oh, excellent. You know, we're built to last. We think we're built to last. You know, I look at my children, you know, we, like I said, at the top of the show, we celebrated Mother's Day. And, you know, my children honored me and blessed me. They said some very moving things. And also they blessed Mommy. And I'm overjoyed about that, because every time, you know, your babies say, Mom, I put some money in your account, or I sent you a package in the mail. That's an honor. That is a blessing that they, you know, it shows that you did something right. And, but I look at them, and as I talk with them, they think I'm going to be here forever. When I'm around them and say they come visit me, like I went to see my daughter in Atlanta a couple of months ago, and she was like, oh, Mom, you're putting on a little weight. And then I didn't forget to touch up my gray. I just figured, well, I'm just at her house, so it's okay. And she's like, Mom, you going to do something with that? I'm 55 years old. My black wasn't built to last. My waistline wasn't built to last. I'm trying to keep it together and walk good and talk good and everything, but it wasn't built to last. But so many times we be in relationships and we have our children, we have our husbands, and they expect everything to be the same way all the time. Now, you alluded to something when you first found out that you had breast cancer. You said that you wind up having to go to the chemos and stuff alone, and you had shared before about how your husband, he started treating you differently because you developed breast cancer.
Yes, he did. He became very angry. I mean, he was just so much anger in him. Didn't want to talk about it. And tried to spend as less time with me as possible. And when I say as possible, we're talking about a man who would go to work, come home, and now he worked the afternoon shift, would go to work, come home, and, you know, go to bed. Like, he'd get home about 2 o'clock in the morning. And next morning, get up, get dressed, and gone. All day, and would come back just to check and see if I needed to have him make a bottle or something, because I started doing daycare, because when I was out, his thing was still, we still got bills to be paid here, so you need to figure out how you're going to do that.
Help even with the cancer.
Even with the cancer and going in the middle of treatment. And, you know, because it took something like 30 days for the Family Leave Act, the sick leave to kick in so the checks could start. So he recruited children for me to babysit. Started with his sister and a couple
with,
people that worked
with
him.
With you being ill.
Yes.
With you being ill and at the time, and with the time with the cancer, at the time that you realized that you had it, people didn't know a lot about it. It was during a time where people thought that if you were in the same house with an individual or if you touched someone that you would catch cancer.
It was. That's how I felt. I felt like he treated me like I had the plague. But you know, there was no physical contact during that time, as far as a hug, love you, or anything like that. Even when I went in for the surgery to find out if it was cancer, he was not here. He took a vacation. He went to California and to hang out with his brother. So I was here, and a friend of his mother flew in and went with me to surgery. She lives in California, so she flew in from California and said, I'll be there for you. And she went with me to the hospital, and they did a surgical biopsy. It was outpatient. And that's when I found out I had cancer. He wasn't even here. I called him and told him, well, I'll be home next week. Okay. So when he came home, he was just very angry. And when he would take me to treatment, he would drop me off and say, call me when you're done. And when I got home, he was like, well, you know you got to babysit this evening. So I would suggest you not go upstairs to lay down you know, you could have a seat on the couch, and he would put the babies next to me, one on each side. And see you, gotta go. Set bottles, diapers, and everything around me. And that continued during my entire treatment.
Now,
and when I had surgery,
also during this time where you realized you had cancer, they also discovered lupus.
The lupus came about later, actually.
Okay.
The lupus came about later. And when the lupus came about, I was not with him. We had divorced. After the cancer treatment, and then I had it cancer back-to-back, you know, 95 and 96. And at that point, the marriage went totally down. You got it twice. And the talk in his family and among other friends of his was that God is punishing her. Now, I came down with cancer 1 year after I married him. We got married in 94, 95, I came down with cancer. And he was told that God was punishing me. So his thoughts and mind is that I had did some horrible things while married to him, and that God is punishing me. And there was like no way of convincing him I didn't, because people had told him certain things, that God punishes people in certain ways, and they make them suffer. And I said, God also let people be a testimony for him. But he could not see that. And so from that point on, he decided that even though he was married, he was single. So it went from one affair to another affair to another affair, over and over and over. And I finally said, enough is enough, when I found out he was being physically abusive to my younger sons. And that was the straw that broke the camel back. That was it.
Wow.
And that's when I decided that, no, this is it. You've been doing what? And I only found that out from a phone call from my youngest son during the midst of a beating. He broke away, ran in the bathroom, and called me. And I could hear him yelling in the background, screaming at him that all sorts of little nasty names, and I'm going to kill you. And my child on the phone, Mama, please help us, help us. And I wasn't at home. I was at the church, and I left church. I was there at a meeting, and I came home. In the midst of him still trying to break the bathroom door down to get to my child.
Wow. And this love that you had for this man that you thought was going to last, because this wasn't the first time that you've been married, but that you thought this was it. And how difficult is it to be married to someone and loving an individual, coming down with an illness, and you thinking that, oh, this honeymoon you're on is going to last. It's you know, this is great. We getting to do different things together. We want to travel the world. And then calamity happens.
It's like it's almost like a jolt. Because when you picture yourself on this merry-go, you know, on this Ferris wheel or something, and you're going, everything's so going really good, really good, and then you just get slammed to the ground. And no one is there to pick you up.
Mm. Wow.
That's the feeling you get. You get slammed, and no one. Everyone is standing back, but no one is helping. So how do you get up? You can't turn to any of them. They're in your life, but they're not extending a helping hand. So you have to pull yourself up.
Yeah, because you know life is going to happen. Life happens to us all, especially when we're that of a certain age. You know, we're just glad to still be here with everything still working.
Yeah.
And then that's what I said, you know, when I talk to my kids, the first thing my boys be like, "Mom, are you exercising?" And I'm like, "What?" And then it dawned on me. I said, they want to make sure I stay lubricated so they won't have to come see about me.
You
they
know
want
what
to
I mean?
Make
it's
sure,
like,
I'm going to stay built to last.
Think that you have got to take care of yourself so you can be around and last, you know. But you know what,
I'm
though,
like,
Val? One thing I have to say about, you know, I know your children and I know mine. We are blessed. We are very blessed. In spite of the fact of not having their fathers in their lives when
right.
they were growing up and everything, one thing I could, you know, I honestly feel, I call your children my nieces and nephews and my children, is that if our back is against the wall, we do know that our children will be there for us. There are a lot
yeah.
of people can't say that
because
right. our children saw a lot that normally, you know, an average child does not see growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Our children have experienced at a young age stuff that most adults don't experience. So
taught them
it
how
is
to be resilient, though.
Yes, they're very resilient, and they are survivors. So that's something that we can say that we know for sure that if we should not be around, that they will survive because they have learned at a very young age how to survive.
You know, I was talking to a dear friend of mine today, and we were sitting down watching television, and we were talking about the different things that were going on in society with the children. And by the way, those law enforcement and firemen and military that are tuning in, thank you so much for supporting Hot Topics from the Soul and being there. And for Memorial Weekend, that Tuesday after Memorial Day, I'm going to have a two-hour show for unsung heroes, because you are unsung heroes. You've gone through a lot, and you've served our country, and you're not getting the recognition that you need. Yeah, I know there's a lot of eruptions where law enforcement are in danger because people are angry, but you're still our heroes. When there's a bump in the night, we still call you, and we want you to come and rescue us. So thank you for being faithful. Thank you for standing in the gap. And thank you to all those firefighters that are risking their lives, running into the flames to save our little ones and save us, and try to hold on to some of our possessions. And those military that are fighting that battle every day and coming home and having nothing left and losing a limb, we want to honor you and applaud you for your service and for you being who you are. So tune in to Hot Topics from the Soul the Tuesday after Memorial Day. You all can tune in and, you know, just press 1 and give me a call at 954-724-0900 or email me at soultopics@gmail.com, soultopics@gmail.com. If you want to have your voice heard and talk about, you know, the things that you feel are going on that are unfair or that are fair, we just want to hear from you. We want to honor you. So email me at soultopics@gmail.com. If you want to be a part of the show, you can tune in and speak out anonymously. You don't have to give your real name, because on Hot Topics from the Soul, we can do that. And or you can call me at 954-724-0900 if you want to be a guest on the show for military law enforcement firefighters. So, Shirley, I wanted to make sure that I said that, because, you know, so much is going on right now, and we fail to forget that there are people that are still fighting for us every day in spite of the oppositions that they're going through.
That is so true. So true, because, you know, we got so much that is happening, and the pressure that's on everyone. When I say everyone, because there are some out there in law enforcement that are not doing what they should be doing, or not, you know, holding up the oath that they took, but that put pressure on their fellow officers as well, because everyone is looking at all of them. And so there's some unnecessary pressure there. But at the end of the day, they are still our fellow brothers and sisters that are out there when it's all said
and
done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, those individuals that are fighting for us, their fathers, their mothers, their sisters, their brothers, aunts, uncles, they are human beings just like us, and we're all subject to error. We're all subject to error. That's why there's killing and there's divorce and stuff. That's because we're all subject to error. So we need to talk about these things. And one of the reasons I started Hot Topics from the Soul is to be a platform, so a voice to the community, as Steve, the announcer, says. We want that to happen, to be a voice to the community. So those that, you know, desire to say things and don't have a platform, this is a platform that you can feel free to do that. And in doing so, we can reach hearts and empower lives.
That is so true. And, you know, not only empower lives and everything, but people have breakthroughs by listening to our show.
Absolutely.
There's many, many breakthroughs in. And that is, you know, something that we really want everyone to understand, that there is always someone somewhere that can give you a light in the midst of your darkness.
Yeah, we're tuning in, talking about Built to Last. If you have a question, comment, or want to share a story, a testimony, you can press 1 and I'll cue you in. If you want to share with us, press 1 and I will cue you in. So, Shirley, you moved on from having a cancer, went through a divorce, and then lupus.
Lupus came in after the divorce. The divorce took 18 months. And doing that 18 months. Now, this is a divorce with no children. We had no children together. So it was a battle, as I may say. The only thing I wanted out of the divorce was my home and whatever I bought into the marriage. But I was battling a guy who wanted to take everything, including
the
house.
Oh, been there, done that.
Everything. Now, remember I said that, you know, my job closed on me when I was going through cancer treatment. So I still did not have a 9-to-5. I was doing things with my entertainment company. I was doing speaking engagements. So I didn't have documented 9-to-5 checks, you know, no taxes, none of that stuff. I had nothing to prove that I could afford to take, you know, to keep my home. So that was another issue in itself. But I knew that God gave me this house when I first walked through the door to look at the house, because it had everything in it that I wanted. And when I say I asked and I made a decision that I wanted my house to have certain things, I wanted 4 bedrooms. I wanted 3 bathrooms. I even wanted a rose garden. I wanted a fireplace. All of those things I got. Everything was in this house. And the house, I happened to just come down the street, and I had been looking in this neighborhood and looking. There was nothing for sale in the neighborhood. And I turned the corner one day. It was like the Lord spoke to me and said, go through it one more time. And there the house was. And I said, oh, my God, that's the house. that's the house that I envisioned. That is the house. And so the fight became who gets the house. And only God could have did this. I was going through a period of time, like I said, where, you know, no job and everything. My attorney was from Legal Aid. So I had a Legal Aid attorney. And because money, we had money in the bank. But what he did, when he filed for the divorce, and then I counterfiled. And when I counterfiled, he went to the bank and then withdrew all the money and transferred it into just one account with only his name on it. And there was nothing I could do because he hired
the most expensive attorney. You know, I don't know why the guys do that, especially when you got the kids. They take everything. What's up with that?
Everything. I don't know. He took everything. Well, I guess he thought if he took all the cash that I had no choice but to leave and go live with my family an hour and a half away in another city. But I refused to leave my home. And during that time, my attorney was able to get him to pay the mortgage. Now, when we were together, we paid the mortgage together. But he was so confident in himself that he would have the home, he paid the mortgage. But he fought the divorce in the matter of he wanted the house and everything. So it took him 18 months, but 18 months he had to pay that mortgage, and he didn't even live here. But when I got the house in a divorce, he was so shocked. And the judge even asked him, why should I give you the house? He said, because I have money and she doesn't have anything. He said, really? The judge even, and when the judge asked him about the affairs, he said, she hasn't said a word, not one negative thing about you. But you're just dragging her through this court like she's dirt under your feet. And he asked him, he said, what about these women and stuff? How many women are you talking to? He was like, oh, they're just friends. I just do it as a hobby. He said, oh, it's a hobby. And he said, what, she told you something? He said, nope, she didn't even tell me. He said, I know your kind. I know your kind. And he said, so he just told him himself, and my attorney basically said, don't say a word. Just sit there and do tic-tac-toe, something on a piece of paper, but don't say a word. Don't even move. And that's what I did. So the judge made a decision after thinking about it. He said, I'm going to give you a chance to settle with her. And he wouldn't settle. So the judge came back and said, you know, I wasn't going to give you anything, but she's got this whole list of things here that she's willing to give you. And she never said not one negative thing about you. He said, I'm going to give you your car, but you're going to give her half the value of it. And he says, for the house, I'm giving it to her. And if she sells the house, all the proceeds from the sale will go to her. And he said, she didn't even want any alimony, child support, or nothing. He said, I'm going to give her some alimony. He said, you wasn't married long enough for me to give it to her for the rest of her life. He said, but I can put it on a contingent basis. He said, you know what that means? That means every 2 years she can come to me for the rest of her life, and I will make you pay. I was like, oh, my God.
I should have had that judge. I should have had that judge. But, you know, we're talking about built to last. And I tell
but
you
I wouldn't
what,
yeah,
you know, we just be standing there doing our things and stuff and trying to be resilient and standing our own purpose and our own truth, knowing when opposition comes and everything seems against us and stuff, and we stand there in full power like nothing is going to break down, nothing is going to happen, and really, truly, Shirley, at that moment that we're going through difficult times, especially when you have children, you get a new level of Hercules.
You know it.
All your might.
Yes. You find strength that you never knew you had or you never exercised it before, because for 18 months, I had to fight that. And then when the judge gave me the home, and he said, I'm going to give you 60 days to get a mortgage in your name. So the fight wasn't over. Mm-hmm. So now I have to get a mortgage. I had 60 days to do it. And he didn't tell me what would happen if I didn't get it, but I had 60 days. And now you got to go to a mortgage company and apply for a mortgage and convince them that you're going to make the mortgage payment, but yet you have no proof of income.
Hmm.
The mortgage company that we had, they denied me. And once they denied me, I felt like, who's going to really believe me? But let me tell you, 30 days into it, I got a letter, and it said that I was more than a credit report, and I was already guaranteed pre-approved. And there was no clause in there pending your credit report or anything like that. And it was signed by the president of a mortgage company, Ameriquest. And I called them, and I got the president's office, and he said, I never sent you a letter. I said, I have it in my hand. You said that I was approved, guaranteed. He said, our marketing department must have sent some stuff out. I said, no, this letter is signed. Is this your name? And he told me. He said, well, come in. And I went into their office, and he looked at it, and he said, it is my signature, but I don't remember sending you this letter. And he said, do we know each other? I said, no, we don't. So that was that Monday. By that Friday, I was closing on my mortgage.
Mm.
Not only did I close on it, but I pulled out $15,000 out of equity on the home to replace.
Talk about
the
built
furniture.
To last.
Woo-hoo. Built to last. And I said, there was only God. And I gave that guy, I gave him a promissory note saying, I promise you I will make my mortgage payment. And that was I'm still in my home, and that was in 2000. 15 years later, I'm still in my home. And I still don't have a 9-to-5.
That is awesome.
And that's when I say
awesome.
You find strength to fight and reclaim your life, and you stay focused and stay on point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a caller ended in 40498. You're live.
Good evening, sisters. How are you?
Good evening.
Good.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm just sitting here listening.
Happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And
yes,
thank you. You
happy
all. Happy
Mother's
Day, Shirley.
Happy Mother's Day.
So impressed. I was so impressed just listening to your past, your medical past and so forth, and all the things that you have gone through. And I was sitting here, it kind of reminded me somewhat of myself. I had cancer also. But at the time, I was really young. Like you talk about nothing built to last forever, but I was really young when I had my cancer. But at the time, I had cancer and tuberculosis at the same time. But I was extremely, extremely blessed. I was able to have the surgery for the cancer. I didn't have to have any treatments with that. But the tuberculosis, I had to have, treatment for an entire year, for the tuberculosis. I mean, it was a long, long, long process. Through God's grace, I made it. I mean, I never had that feeling that I was going to die or anything, even though I was in the hospital from March until August. I always had that feeling. Well, I guess I was young and stupid or whatever, but I just never had a feeling that, anything bad was really going to happen to me. I was just going to have the cancer. The tuberculosis was going to be laid to rest, and I would be fine. And that's exactly what happened. But during that time, I tell you how God works. I mean, during this time that I was in the hospital for the cancer, I met this lady, social worker. And this is how I became a nurse. I mean, she told me about a program, where I could go to school And so even signed me up before. I mean, when I was able to come out of, you know, out of the hospital, I went, took the exam, entered into NYU, went to school there. But then guess what? I found another counselor who told me about an RN program at Bronx Community College. And she said, well, you know, you could become an RN in 2 years, and then you'd be able to take care of your kids. So that's what I did. I went there, and I was able to do that and graduate, you know, with my degree, became an RN, and worked at my career for over 30 years. And I was laughing at Mallory talking about how our kids look at us and think, you know, that we are built to last forever. Mine are the same way. You know, they look at me, Mom, I mean, even with the gray hair, you know, like, what are you going to do about that? I said, well, you know what, I think I'm just going to let it grow gray, you know, because, you know, you keep dying in it and your hair starts to fall out. And he says, no, I really don't think you need to do that.
Yeah, they
right
don't
now.
Be thinking so.
You know, they still want you, I mean, you know, they still want us to look good. You know, they want us to feel good, and oh God, don't say anything about, you know, something hurts or whatever. You know, well, why? Really, you know what? Look how old I am. You know, I'm entitled to an ache and pain every once in a while. But
yeah.
As far as they're concerned, they do not want any aches or pains whatsoever. So, you know, you just have to keep it together. I mean, in terms of the exercises, oh Lord, that's daily now. That has become a daily thing. The walking has become a daily thing. So, you know, I'm trying to keep it together in that aspect. But, you know, even though, you know, I've gone through all of that, you know, life is still, like you say, you know, there are ups and downs, and there are times when you just say, oh, my God, how can I make it? How, you know, what's going to happen and so forth. You know, I know that I'm kind of bouncing around, but during the time that I went through my cancer, I was already divorced. But I did have a friend who was right there. I mean, and I only had met him for about a month and a half. But when I got diagnosed with this cancer, this man was so wonderful. When it happened, I was living on the fifth floor walk up, right? Well, during the time I was in the hospital, the doctor said, well, you know, we can't send you back to a fifth floor walk up. You know, this man found me a 5-room house, I mean, apartment, only one flight up. So, I mean, and I didn't have to worry about money at the time because between he and my husband, they took care of us. I had, at that time, I had 3 kids. And at that time, between him and my husband, they took very good care of us. So, you know, I was blessed. I was blessed in that area. But, you know.
Yeah,
still,
that
you
is
know,
a blessing. You were ill, and you met somebody in your illness.
Well, you know what? I met him about, you know what? I'm sure I was sick at the time, but you know what? I didn't realize that I was sick because it was about a month and a half after, you know, after I stopped seeing him that I ended up in the hospital. But it's so amazing, you know, when I finally came out of the hospital, I was weighing like 89 pounds. I looked like nothing but skin and bone. And this man thought I looked absolutely fantastic.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't believe it. He said, oh, honey, you look wonderful. And I thought, oh, my God. No, I don't. But, you know, I just let it slide.
Well, I was so stressed out during my marriage. That's what I weighed through my whole entire marriage, 89 pounds. And the only time I weighed more than that was when I was pregnant, and I went up to 114, 115 pounds, which is what I weigh right now. So could you imagine me normally being 89 pounds?
Well, you know what, Mel, you're a little bit shorter than I am. So, you know, me, I'm taller than you. But, you know, to me, I looked awful. You know, even though my normal weight was like 110, 150, you know, but at 89 pounds, that was, you know, nothing. But, well, I still don't have any legs now, but At that time, it was nothing but sticks. Nothing but sticks. But through it all,
built to last.
Still, still lasting. Still, you know, enjoying life. I had a little bit of a scare last year, but I, you know, even that turned out okay. You had the biopsy and everything turned out to be okay. So I'm good to go now. I got to, you know, I'm good to go. So all is well.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story. Hold on. We have another caller on here. Caller 2175. We got about 5 minutes. You know, we got a spare couple of minutes. 2175, you're live.
Hi, everybody. This is Marie. So glad to hear
Hello,
everybody.
Marie.
Hi, Marie.
Hi. It is so wonderful for us to be able to get together as women, you know, to be able to explain what really actually happened in our life, you know. I, too, had cancer, and I was like, I had just had my son, and I was like 22. And they gave me like 15 years to live. And I was married
to my son. 22, and they gave you 15 years? Usually they give you a couple of months. They stretched it to 15?
Well, it was because it was the way it was in the uterus. But I wouldn't have had, you know, but 15. It wouldn't have been nothing else, you know. And I was with my second husband at that time. And I had just, my son was like 3 years old. He was two or three. And I had just lost a baby also. And that was, and the baby that I lost, I don't even know how I lost the baby and what happened. But then they found out later on, you know, that I had my bowels that locked around everything, all my tubes. And undoubtedly the baby was, you know, hooked up and all of that. But I prayed so hard. And, you know, I just asked God, you know, please, you know. And at that time, I wasn't Christian as I am today, you know. I was just going to church like every night, you know. But when I went back to the doctor, they said that I was good and I didn't have it, you know. But I tell you, when they scare you like that, my husband was so mad because when they told me that, he told me that by myself. And I'm not a good, I'm really not a good person to hear, you know, stuff like that, you know, and my husband knew that. And he was just so, he was just so upset, he didn't know what to do, you know, and he just blessed that doctor out. And, you know, I had to change doctors, you know. So, and when I went to the, he said that it was tumors. And so they took me up to give me a hysterectomy. But when they got there to give me the hysterectomy, they couldn't take it because, you know, that's when they saw that my bowels had locked around everything, and that's how I had lost the baby. And I had to live there for 11 days, and no food, no ice, no nothing, you know. So I was, like, dry, you know. But I tell you, I got over it, and today I'm 62 years old, thank God. And, you know, I'm with the fourth husband now. And I tell you, I still don't realize why did this man marry me, because I'm like, I'm handicapped, you understand what I'm saying? And I'm like, you know, what is really going on now? Because I begged him not to, and then all of a sudden, no, I want to marry. So we got married, and now we've been married now for going on 6 years now. So we're not together. But I tell you what, I pulled myself out of where we were. I left that house that we got married in, and now I'm over in, you know, in another place. And I tell you, I'm doing much better. I'm getting along much better. And I tell you, I just picked myself up. I'm like Shirley. I just went up and just picked myself up. And, you know, I'm like the all of you all, you know. I just picked myself up and just got up and did what I needed to do for me, And that's what I did. And I'm, you know, now I'm working now to get my divorce, but I want to get it, you know, I don't want to get it in the wrong way. I want to get it in the right way. No matter what nobody else say and how they say it, I want to do it right. And once I do it, you know, I want to do it as to where that I don't even have to look back anymore, you know. And right now I'm doing good. I'm, you know, I'm much better. I'm much, much better. And I just thank and praise God.
You were built to last, baby. That's because you were built to last. You know, I am so excited about all the things that are done. And, you know, one of the things I said on my Facebook, so those of you that are listening in, you can always find me on Facebook, and I try to put motivational things on there every day. And one of the things I said is there's no special rules in being a mother. We just hope that the ingredients of love, communication, and prayer will sustain our family to walk in the purpose they are called. So I want to take this time to wish every mother. Marie, thank you so much for tuning in and always being a faithful listener. And I want to honor you and salute you for Mother's Day and all the mothers that are tuned in, because you were built to last through many changes, trials and snares. We go through so much opposition. Women are the most incredible super women on the planet. We have two wombs, one to birth naturally and one to birth spiritually. There's no one else like us, but yet we go through so much controversy, but we're beautiful, wonderful, magnificent in all we do. We are built to last. Thank you for tuning in to Hot Topics from the Soul. And once again, I invite all law enforcement, military, firemen to join me Tuesday after Memorial Day on Hot Topics from the Soul as we talk with our unsung heroes and honor you and hear what you have to say. Email me at soultopics@gmail.com. That's soultopics@gmail.com, or call me at 954-724-0900 and visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Sign in and you'll be on my mailing list so you can stay connected with me, and Shirley, give your information so individuals can know how to reach you.
They can reach me on Facebook at Shirley M. Carter, or on my website at ShirleyMCarter.com, and Twitter, that's, I'm using that even more, Miss Shirley 56. Thank you for joining us, and have a wonderful week.
Thank you. Look forward to you tuning in to another Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night. God bless.
Good night.